Karabo Tukubash, Oh God, you are able, you are able, you are able, you are able to do that which concerns our lives, oh God. Rabuna intakebi. Rabuna, Rabuna, Rabuna intakebi. Rabuna. You're a great, great Father. You're a good, good Father. Shidi bara kabaka sede de 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 kada. You do mighty things. Shidi bara batakara batakara shide de 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 karabo tukuba shide de 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 karabas. You raise up your men and women. Ribatakara shide de 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 karabaka to be your vessels of honor. To be your vessels. To be your vessels of honor. Shira batakara batakara shide de de. Your word does not go out and come back empty. Mira batakara shide de 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 karabatakaba shide de de de. It brings out your grace, your grace, your grace, your grace, your grace, your grace, oh Lord, sharabata karabata dididididi, your grace, dididi baya karabata karabata karabutu kubashi dididididi baya karabutu, you are gracious, 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 oh Lord. You are gracious, oh da da ba da 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 da. She did it, karabo tukuba. She did it, karabo tukuba. She did it. You are gracious. You are gracious. You are gracious. You are gracious. You are gracious, Lord. You are gracious. You are gracious. You are gracious, Lord. She did karabo tsa karabo tukuba. She did it, karabo tsa. Amba karabo tsa karabo tsa. Da 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 da. Karabo tukuba. She did it, karabo tukuba. She did it, karabo tsa. Amba da karabo tsa karabo tukuba. You are gracious, you are gracious, Lord, you are gracious, Lord. Sharabata kasa di 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 di. Ambara da 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 karabutu kubasha di 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 karabata kasha di 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 karabutu kubasa di 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 da. You are gracious, you are gracious, you are gracious, Lord, you are gracious, Lord. You are gracious, Lord. You are gracious, Lord. Shidi baraba karabo tuko basa da 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 karabo tuko basa da da. Ambara da 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 ayaka karabo tuko basa da 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 karabo tuko boko basa da 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 karabo tuko basa da 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 da. Riba ta karabo se da 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 ba riba ta karabo tuko basa da 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 karabo tuko basa da 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 karabo tuko ba. Ambara da 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 ba ayaka karabo tuko basa da 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 karabo tuko se da 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 karabo tuko basa da. Yereba sende de de karabata kashi de 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 mokorabakasa da 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 amba de 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 karabutu kubashi de 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 bashi de 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 karabutu kubashi. Holy Spirit, you are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, you are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, you are worthy, Lord. Shidi bara makara butu kuba. You are worthy, Lord. Shidi bira kara butu kaba kuba. Kasende de 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 ba. Shidi kire bata kara butu kuba. You are breakthrough, you are breakthrough, you breakthrough, Lord. Shidi bara kara butu kuba. You give us breakthrough, Lord. Shidi bira kara butu kaba. You give us breakthrough, 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 Lord. Shidi bira kara kara butu kasende de 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 kara ba. We just want. To honor you, Lord, shiri bide karaba kama. We just wanna worship you, Lord, shiri bide karaba chaka. We just wanna worship you, Lord, worship you, Lord, worship you, Lord, worship you, Lord. You are gonna worship you, Lord, worship you, Lord. Worship your Lord, we just wanna worship your Lord. Worship, worship your Lord. Worship your Lord, worship your Lord. We just wanna worship your Lord. We just wanna worship your Lord. Oh, we worship. Just wanna sing your praises this morning. I just wanna sing your praises this morning to you, Lord. Shiri barakaba for all of everything, for everything you've done. I just wanna praise your name and worship you, Lord, today, my God. Oh, everything, everything. I just praise you, I just praise you, Lord. I just praise you, my Father, my God, for everything you've done. You have opened up the scriptures to me, Lord. Shiri barakara bakasi di di di. You have given me the grace and wisdom. When I see your word, I see your grace, I see your power, Lord. I receive the wisdom of your truth, the wisdom. I'm just a vessel, that's available. Just a vessel that's available. Available. So that you can use me, my Father, do. You can use me, 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 Lord. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. You can use me. Use me, Lord. You can use me, Lord. You can use me. Oh, you can use me if you need it. We can need you. If you need to, you can break me, Lord. You can mold me, Lord. You can fill me, Lord. Then you can use me, use me, use me, use me. I just want I want you to use me, Lord. I'm available for your use, God. I'm just a vessel that you can use today. Use me for your glory, oh. Use me for your glory, oh. Use me for your glory, oh. Use me for your glory, Lord. Use me for your power, oh. Use me for your wisdom, oh. Use me for your grace, oh. Use me, oh. You can use me. You can use me, Lord. You can use me. You can use me, Lord. Oh, you can use me. You can use me, oh.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, precious Savior. Thank you that you love us, O God, and you're concerned for us, and that you're here, O God. May your name be praised, be worshipped, and be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God, my brothers and my sisters. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for praying this morning. Thank you for joining in to listen to the Word of God. And we've been settling and sitting in Romans chapter 8 for various good reasons, because it addresses the spirit life, and there are two running, at least so far we've looked at two themes, and we will still be on the second theme, which is the theme of sonship, in sonship for the children of God. And one of the things that we looked at from on sonship from verse 14 is that as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we state that those who habitually and continually give themselves to be led by the Spirit of God, them that continually surrender themselves to be led by the Spirit of God, to be taught by the Spirit of God, to be guided by the Spirit of God, to be given wisdom, and those who, according to Proverbs chapter 3 from verse 5, do not lean on their own understanding, and in all of their ways they acknowledge God, then these are the ones that are led by the Spirit of God. And these are the ones the Bible calls, these are my sons. These are the sons of God. So it is one thing to say, to declare, oh, I'm a child of God. But if you are continually in disobedience, you don't listen to God's voice, you don't know how God's voice speaks, you have no idea what he says or what he doesn't want from you, then are you sure you are really a child of God? Because children of God are those who have obeyed him. Children of God are those who have turned away from wicked ways, are those who have put their trust in God, put their faith in God, believed in God for the forgiveness of their sins, and have made a U-turn. And have made a turn in thought, have made a turn in behavior, they've made a turn in character. Jesus did not offer any condemnation to the woman caught in adultery, but he gave her the instructions, go and sin no more. So mercy of God comes before judgment. Mercy of God is offered at the place and at the point of forgiveness. And the first thing that God offers is mercy. And that's why the Bible, we are told, come as you are. Come to the waters and drink. Come, let us reason together. God is always concerned and is always calling forth every human being to come to him. Religion teaches us that we must change first when we come to him. And many people will be like, no, I need to first stop smoking. I need to stop doing this first before I come to God for salvation. But God says, you come first, then I will change you. You come, I will follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So the first process is you to come to God in faith and to follow. And when you follow, and this following involves the process of abiding in the presence of God, abiding in worship, abiding in reading the word of God, abiding in prayer, abiding in fasting. This is what God calls forth his sons and his daughters to walk into a life that is of the Spirit, a Spirit-led life. This is the kind of life that God is calling forth his sons and daughters to walk in alignment with the truth. And that's what Galatians tells us in 5, is it verse 16, that so I tell you, walk in step with the Spirit, and you shall not gratify the desires of the flesh. So as children of God, we are being called to walk after the things of the Spirit. We are called to walk in obedience to the Spirit of God, in guidance, in revelation to the Spirit of God. And God, by his Spirit, calls us forth to obey him, to trust in him, to depend on him, and to count on him. Because our God is good, our God is faithful, our God is able, he's concerned for us, he loves us, and he desires to lead us. We do not have a God who does not speak, but rather we have a God who speaks to us. Our God is not in just one place that all, you know, we have to pray in a certain direction every time, saying the same thing 5 times or how many times a day. Our God is relational. That means that you can relate to him as a father That means that you can call out to him, you can cry out to him even when you're showering, even when you're in the toilet, even when you're alone. You can speak to your father, you can speak to your God because he's a daddy. Abba, Father. Abba means the source, means the originator, means the provider, means the one we come out from. God has called out us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we are not the children of darkness, but we are children of light. And since we are children, we have received the spirit of adoption, a spirit that no longer makes us fearful slaves. I love that version. I think it's New Living Translation that says, you have not received a spirit that makes you once again fearful slaves. You see, we as Christians, we are not slaves. You know, when we think of certain religions, they see themselves as slaves of God. But we are sons of God. A son has a right. And that's why the Bible says that since we are sons of God, we are heirs of God. And we are joint heirs with Christ. Slaves do not have rights. And I mean, all I'm saying, you can go and listen. I've done a teaching on heirs of God. I've done a teaching on being led by the Spirit of God, in which you can hear the how to hear the voice of God, how to be guided by him, how to distinguish the voice of God from your human spirit, and how to distinguish the voice of God from the voice of the devil. And all these are available. All these are questions that believers ask. And if you take time to listen to God's word, if you take time to hear God's word, God is able to speak, and you'll be able to even distinguish between the voice of the flesh, distinguish the enemies of man, the flesh, the worldly system, and the devil. And these are all communications. These are all speakings that can come to you. And because we are in the hearing realm, remember we've talked about faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Likewise, if faith comes by hearing, then also doubt and unbelief comes by hearing, and hearing the message of the devil, and hearing the message of discouragement, and hearing the message of impossibility. So whoever we choose to listen to determines the outcome of either whether we are walking in faith or we are walking in doubt. Remember, the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. So even you might be listening to a preacher, but at the end of the message, all you feel is a death. So you're not listening to spirit and life, because the Spirit of God, when he communicates, he gives life. He gives life. And even though he may wound you, his wounding, it does not leave you broken. His wounding is not to scare you, but his wounding is to give you life. So the Spirit of God does not make us again, once again, slaves to fear, or rather fearful slaves. And we are no longer under fear, under the bondage of fear, but we become sons of God who are confident to speak to their father. And that is why you, as a Christian, you can talk to your father directly. You don't need to talk through someone to talk to your father. I think it's one of the biggest fallacies of Christianity that we need to talk through people so that we can talk to God. You can talk to God directly as your father. Yes, the pastors, the fivefold ministry, the apostles, the prophets are there. They have, God has given them a greater responsibility and an understanding. But it's not because they are any special children, no, but it is because they have chosen and they have purpose to walk in their relationship with God. And even you and I, the more we commit ourselves to the things of God, the more we surrender ourselves to be led by God, the more we submit ourselves to hear from God and to be guided by God, that is the more we are directed by him, we are covered by him, we are strengthened by him, we are led by him. And in everything that we do, God walks with us. God directs us. God speaks to us. And God is our Father, is our Lord, and is our King. And I know that he is a faithful Father, he's a faithful Lord, he's mighty, he's gracious, and he's concerned for you. Our God is alive, and he has given us a spirit of adoption, and by which we are adopted, we are children legally. You know, adoption is a legal process. So we are legally children of God. And how are we legally children of God? Because Jesus Christ, Christ died for our sins and he paid all legalities that were against us. He disarmed them. And he went to heaven and he went to hell first of all and spoiled all principalities and powers and made a public show of them, triumphing over them off the cross. And this you can read in Galatians 2 from verse 14 to 15, that where Christ made a public show and he disarmed all the powers of darkness. And what did we say about disarmament? Disarmament is a process where whatever guns, whatever powers that these people have, they were surrendered and they were taken over. And you see, you can either willingly surrender, but you see, Jesus was, he took them captive. He took captivity captive. Can you imagine anything that could have held you captive, whether it is corruption, whether it is depression, whether it is sickness, whether it is addiction, anything that could have held you captive? The Bible says, tells us that when he ascended on high, Ephesians chapter 4, things from verse 8 onwards, if you read, it says, when he ascended on high, he took captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Can you imagine anything and everything that could hold you captive? He took captivity captive. And that is why you cannot be in bondage. You are not a slave. You are not arrested by the devil. You are free. And it is for you to fight the good fight of faith. What is that good fight of faith? It is not taking up arms to go and fight unbelievers. No. We do not wrestle as the world wrestles. The world wrestles with guns. The world wrestles with swords. The world wrestles with bombs and suicide bombers and all those things. But we wrestle not against principalities. We wrestle against principalities and powers because our weapons are not carnal. Our weapons are mighty unto the demolishing of strongholds. And this you can read in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 from verse 4 to 5, that we take down thoughts and strongholds and captives, and we make them obedient to Christ. So our job is to fight arguments. Our job is to fight every high thing that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. So our job is to wage a war against thought patterns. Strongholds are thought patterns that people have developed among themselves that hinders them from knowing God. If for example, for you to, you need a priest to hear God or to read the Bible because you think that it is only a pastor who understands the Bible or who can read the Bible. That is a stronghold that you need to break, because God is your father. He can speak to you directly. And even as you read the word of God, he is the writer of the Bible. All you need to ask him is, Heavenly Father, help me to understand your Bible. Help me to understand the writings. In Jesus' name, and the Holy Spirit, who is the author of the Bible. Remember, we always say that the Bible has one author, who is the Holy Spirit, but many writers, because the scriptures are inspired. They were inspired by the Holy Spirit, that men of old wrote or spoke as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the one that carried along the prophets. It carried along the pastors. It carried along the preachers. Even for me today, I'm being carried along by the Spirit of God to be able to communicate spirit and life to you, to communicate the scriptures, to bring them alive to you, because I've surrendered and submitted myself to the leading of the Holy Spirit to be taught by him. So in summary, what I'm just trying to say is that we need the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher, who is the guide, who is the paracletos. And I've done a teaching on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You can check that out in season 1 of 2024. And you can check that out and you will see that he is one that walks alongside us. He was our defender. He's our provider. He's our teacher. He's our protector. He's our advocate. He's our friend. He's the Holy Spirit. He's the gift of the Father, the promise of the Father, that Jesus ask the, say that when I go to the Father, I will ask the Father and he will send forth the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father. So the Holy Spirit comes both from the Father and from Jesus. Indeed, they send him to us And remember, the Holy Spirit is not a force, is not a wind, he is a person. And the difference between the Holy Spirit and the evil spirits is that the Holy Spirit will never force himself on us. He is a gentle spirit, and even though we don't recognize him, even though we don't acknowledge him, he's the one who was there before we gave our lives to Jesus, speaking to us, guiding us, showing us that we are wrong, convicting us of sin. And even when we are in salvation, he's the one that walks with us in salvation and teaches us his ways and guides us and protects us and shows us the right path, the right way of path, the right pathway that we need. This is God our Father. This is God our Redeemer. This is God our friend. And this is God who is concerned for us and is caring for us. So God our Father is concerned for us. He loves us. He cares for us. And he is our Father. And that is the greatest revelation, and this is the greatest understanding that we must have as New Testament believers. We are much better than Moses. We are much better than Samson. We are much better than anyone in the Old Testament, even up to John the Baptist. Because Jesus said that the greatest, that among those born of women, none is greater than John the Baptist. But the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. That means the moment you have entered the kingdom of God by giving your life to Jesus, you are greater than John the Baptist. Isn't that not powerful to know? That what God has accomplished, what God has fought for you, what God has established for you is far much greater than you could ever ask of, imagine, or think. So as we're looking at our scriptures, and we've seen that verse 18 yesterday, I believe we looked at the present sufferings. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. And I emphasize that sufferings lead to glory. Sufferings, the end result of suffering is glory. The end point of suffering is glory. God has called us, that as we go through sufferings, and I said we should not suffer as wrongdoers. Don't suffer because you did not do your assignments, or you did not, you know, you did not obey your teachers or obey your leaders or obey the law and say that this is suffering for being a Christian. No. When you suffer for being a Christian is when after you have done right, after you have done the right thing before God and man, then you are made to pay a price for that. Either you lose an opportunity because someone feels that you should not have done that. Now, when you suffer in that manner, then that tells you that you have suffered for doing what is right. Then that means you are receiving a greater glory. And that greater glory is being revealed in us. And so today we'll continue verse 19. It says, for the earnest expectation of creation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. And maybe let me just, I want us to just, let me see if I can get a nicer version. That's a bit, sorry, not that one. That's a bit good to, yeah, amplify. Okay, let me look at New Living Translation. So it says from verse, 18, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared with the glory he will reveal to us later. Verse 19, for all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And I think I'll stop there. Let me see if I can look at Amplified. That was New Living Translation. Amplified says from verse 18, "For I consider from the standpoint of faith that the sufferings of the present life are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us." Verse 19, Romans 8, "For even the whole creation, all of nature, waits eagerly for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration and futility, not willingly because of some intentional fault on its part, but by the will of him who subjected him, in hope that the creation itself will be freed from its bondage to decay and gain entrance into the glorious freedom of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been mourning together as in the pains of childbirth until now." I don't want to go so much ahead because there's so much beauty in what we are reading. And basically what the scripture is telling us is that creation, that is the whole world, has been subjected to something that the scripture calls the bondage of corruption. That means the whole earth underwent trouble, underwent groaning, underwent difficulty, underwent fragility because of the sin of Adam. You see, when God made everything, he made it good. You can see how all the animals came to Adam and he named them. And basically, God never made any wild animal. And I'm sure someone will be like, "Are you sure?" Yes. And you see, when you read Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 11, and maybe you can go there and study it, you will see when it speaks of the coming of the Messiah, of the reign of the Messiah, that in that time the child shall play near the nest of the adder, of the snake, and the lion and the lamb shall eat grass together. So it tells you that all animals initially were eating grass. The lion will eat grass, the lamb will eat grass, and the child will play with the snake and will play with the baby of the snake and none of them will harm them. So the creation that God created was not wild, in that the animals were subject to Adam, the animals were not fearful of Adam, the animals will come to man and he will name them, and everything that he named them was their name. And that was the beauty of the creation. And everything that God created, he created it good for man. He gave him the garden. He gave him what to eat. He gave him the work to tend the garden and to protect it. But in all that God gave him, he only gave him one condition: do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So you see, God has given us human beings so much liberty. And Adam was given liberty to tend the garden, to rule the garden, to exercise his dominion, to grow and multiply, to exercise his authority, him alongside with his wife. They were blessed and made fruitful and prosperous. And God expected them and gave them dominion, in that God gave them the authority over the earth. And so you see, as they were in charge of the earth, everything responded to them. The earth yielded its best for them. But you see, when Adam sinned, the ground was cursed. God never cursed Adam nor Eve, because God does not curse mankind. That's one thing you must understand. God, once he made man good, that is it. But because man made his sin and decided to rebel against God, you see, Eve was deceived, but Adam rebelled. So there's a difference, because she says, "The snake beguiled me." But God told Adam, "Because you chose to hearken to the voice of your wife." So it was even like he did not hear the voice. I know the Bible tells us that Adam was there with him, with his wife. When the snake was deceiving Eve, he was there with him. He took the fruit and gave Adam, who was with him. So Adam chose to not only, because Adam is the one who had the voice of God, but God told him, so because you chose to hearken to the voice of your wife, he disobeyed God, then the cursed is the ground because of you, and with sweat shall you eat from it. You know, so the ground was cursed because of Adam. So you can see how creation immediately was started to be subjected to the bondage of corruption, to the bondage of decay. And creation not only involves the ground, it not only involves nature. You see, right now we are going through a serious heat wave. Now that is a result of the bondage of corruption. Creation is groaning. When we are going through monsoons and floodings and earthquakes and, you know, and tremors, this is the groaning of creation, that it is groaning and going through the pains of childbirth and asking, when will the sons of God be made manifest? When will the sons of God be revealed? When will that time when we shall be restored back to our original nature? So this is what creation is asking. This is what creation is crying out for. This is what creation is groaning and travailing in pain together until now. And this is what the Bible says in Romans 8, verse 20-22, that for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and it is crying for its deliverance, because the creature itself shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption. So creation, we human mankind, we are under the bondage of corruption together with creation. But a time shall come when we shall be enter into the glorious liberty, into the glorious freedom of the children of God. This is a place that God wants us to get to the place of freedom. What is this place of freedom? It is a place where we can exercise our authority over the earth as sons of God. You see, when you look at people who are on the other side of the devil, they have learned some of these tricks, and they exercise some form of authority over nature through the works of demons and spirits. They can command rain to not come. They can bring rain. They can do certain things and the earth and all that, and generate money and things like that. But you see, for us as believers, we don't know that we have the authority of the sons of God. And I've done a teaching on the authority of the sons of God, and you can check that out, that there is a glorious liberty that you are brought into freedom. And this freedom means that God has given you a poetic license, for lack of a better word. God has given you a liberty to exercise your dominion on the earth, to exercise God's dominion on the earth, to exercise his truth, to rule over the systems of men. Because remember, where are you ruling from? You're ruling from the right hand of the Father. That is the highest place in the heavens. You're ruling in the place of authority, where the devil cannot take you, where the devil cannot attack you, where you're far above all thrones, all principalities, all dominions, all forces of darkness. And it is from that place of authority that you rule in the third heavens. You rule over the second heavens, where Satan and his demons dwell. And you also rule over the first heaven, where man and his systems dwell. So the authority that God has given the believers is one of rulership, and that is the glorious liberty of the sons of God. And this shall be fulfilled in full in the coming of the Messiah, when he shall come and exercise his dominion over the earth. But also, what I want you to know, that is also a present reality for the believer who has come into maturity and into the full understanding that they are sons of God. That means that everything that happens around you, you have permitted it. Why? Because you have the liberty of the sons of God. God has given you the authority. That means even death is not permitted to come to you unless you allow it. That means sickness is not permitted to come to you unless you allow it. That means poverty is not supposed to be your portion unless you allow it. So there are things that either you will allow by your belief system, because if you believe that you can be attacked by devils, you will be attacked, because in your belief system, you have given them the permission to attack you. Your faith says that, oh, because I did not pray last night, I will be attacked. And definitely because you did not pray, and you think that because you do not pray, then you are not protected by God. Yet God has covered you 24/7, whether you are asleep or not. Then you have given license to the enemy to attack you. So the glorious liberty of the sons of God is a liberty that does not put you again a slave to the law. It does not put you again a slave to keep the, you know, to keep the various Sabbaths, or to keep the various, you know, the circumcision, the law, the 8 days, that all those things that were a guide. But you see, even in the glorious liberty of the sons of God does not mean that you are outside of law, because there is a law that is written in your heart. And that's why God said in the new covenant, I will no longer put the law on tablets, but I will write the law. I'll put my law in their hearts. I will write on the tablets of their hearts. So God gives us an internal law that is different from the external law that was given to Moses. So as you walk with God in the glorious liberty of the sons of God, yes, you are free. You are free from human regulations. You are free from human oppression. You are free from the traditions of men. But yet there is a balance to it, in that there are certain laws that God introduces in your system internally. And you will know that as you're continually walking with God, there's something that you will learn about giving. There's a guide that God already gave about giving in the Old Testament, and of which there's a minimum 10% that he gave. But even as you walk with God, he exercises more on you. He exercises more on you. Remember, the New Testament is much higher. The demands of the New Covenant are even much higher than the demands of the Old Testament. For the Old Testament, they were told, do not commit adultery. Jesus said, do not even look at a woman lustfully. So that means as you continually walk with God, there are things that you would have done that the old covenant would have accepted, but the new covenant does not accept. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. So the glorious liberty of the sons of God is the one that says that do not use your freedom as a license for immorality. Just because you're living under grace does not mean you're living like the devil. You continually and perpetually live in sin. No, but it means that we walk by the grace. We are guided by the grace of God. The grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness and unrighteousness, and to live self-controlled and upright lives in this present age. But even as we walk in that truth, even as we walk in that revelation, there are guides. Just like Adam was given the rule, do not eat and touch. Or rather, he was told, do not eat from the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. So likewise, we too, in the glorious liberty of the sons of God, there are also internal regulations that God gives us. And as we're continually led by him, as we're continually obedient to him, then we shall know his desires for us, and we shall be guided by him. And those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And I assure you, the moment you walk into that liberty, even your world aligns for you. Your seasons align for you. Your job aligns for you. Your family aligns towards you, because you are now walking. You have come to the full realization that you are a son of God, and you are in the glorious liberty of the sons of God. I know that I've spoken in few words, but God is able to give you more grace, more liberty, more understanding, and I pray that you start walking in that glorious liberty of the sons of God. And creation in itself, it'll be freed from the bondage of corruption and decay. This is Spirit and Life. I welcome you to follow us on Facebook, YouTube, Telegram, also on Spotify. I think it's one of the podcasts is there. You'll see it, one of the links. May God teach us and walk with us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that has come forth in power. in wisdom, in understanding that you're calling us to walk into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. And I pray that in your understanding, you shall teach us your ways. Give us that inward law. Give us that inward understanding. And I thank you that times, our seasons align for us. Our jobs align for us. Our businesses align for us. And everything, creation responds to us because we are walking. We are manifested. We are the manifestation of the sons of God. May your name be praised, be worshipped, and be glorified. Thank you that your word is bringing deliverance to our minds, deliverance to our thought patterns, and deliverance to everything that we desire to do. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray and believe. Amen. Shalom. We meet again tomorrow through the same forum. God bless you. Bye.